Minister of Whispers. "How was the vote?" asked Vic as Lawson stepped into his office and shut the door to the gallery. Apparently, the superior had remembered how to smile. His thin lips had a noticeable bend. "The vote was the most fun I have had in some time. They're already arguing over points of procedure down there, but that's what they do when they know they've lost. 159 votes to stay in the Union, 54 to leave." Vic couldn't keep the slightest curl of satisfaction from her own mouth. "Not even close." "Never mind, Schenkt. You must have some unnatural powers." Lawson pulled a cork and poured an ungenerous measure of wine into two glasses. "Shutting that bastard Shudra up was more than I hoped for, but to bring him over to our side, it could only be sorcery." Vic shrugged. "There's no magic for changing your mind like a glimpse of the knife meant to kill you. The Styrians hoped to make him a martyr for their cause. Vitari knew she could win far more votes by killing him and blaming us than by killing any number of our aldermen. I pointed out that Makato did much the same thing in Mussalia. I mentioned the purges that came after, with some help from a couple of eyewitnesses. All I did was show him what ruthless bastards the Styrians really are. Shudra was happy to change his vote. And that was the start of a landslide. Credit where it's due." And Lawson wagged a finger at her. "It was clever thinking to be watching over him." Vic shrugged again. "I asked myself what I'd have tried if I'd been in Vitari's place. Anyone could have done it." "Not just anyone could have caught the famous Casimir Dan Schenkt." Vic shrugged one more time. Shrugs cost nothing, after all. "Infamous killers and nobodies, they all go down much the same when you punch them in the knee." "It seems the more far-fetched rumours about him were just that, rumours." "Perhaps. The Archlector wants him taken back to Adua. His Eminence has some questions." "If we'd lost the vote, it might have been me going back to answer the Archlector's questions. I freely confess, I much prefer it this way." Superior Lawson raised his glass. "You have my thanks, Inquisitor, for what they're worth." Vic drank. Lawson's wine was as thin and sour as he was, but it was wine. She'd counted clean water an impossible luxury once. She never let herself forget it. Solomea Shudra was waiting on the gallery, his thick fists propped on the railing as he watched the assembly at work below.
"Sounds like they're arguing as fiercely as ever," said Vic, stepping up beside him. "The swamps will run out of flies," said Shudra, "before politicians run out of arguments. They are already splitting into new factions over the latest issue."
"Which is?"
"Spending on sewers. I wanted to thank you once more before you left. I have never owed anyone my life before."
"You get used to it."
Shudra glanced at her, brows raised. More than she should have said already, perhaps, but she felt as if she owed him some honesty. "His Eminence the Archlector once gave me a chance."
"Not a man known for giving chances."
"No, but without that."
She remembered the sound of rushing water in the darkness the day the mine flooded. She thought of her brother's face as they dragged him away, heels leaving two crooked trails through the dirty snow.
"I hear the aldermen voted to remain in the Union."
"They did. I never thought I would be happy to say so."
Shudra took a long breath through his nose.
"It is easy, perhaps, in the earnest desire to look for something better, to dismiss the virtues of the allies one has and overlook the faults of the alternatives.
The Union is far from perfect. We have our rivalries, our greed, and our ambition. That is why we need honest, upright, passionate people. People like you."
Shudra snorted.
"I could almost believe you, Inquisitor. But I am not too proud to admit that I misjudged the situation. I misjudged the Union. I misjudged you."
Vic smiled. She couldn't help a small one. The satisfaction of a loyal servant at a job well done.
It takes a strong man to admit his weakness, Master Shudra.
Did you have to hit me so bloody hard?
Asked Merdeen, rubbing at the great bruise on the side of his neck. I told you to pad your knee.
3 layers of saddle leather, I can still hardly walk.
It had to look good. You can't expect the infamous Casimir Danschenk to go down easily.
I am the world's most fearsome assassin.
Merdeen twisted his mouth in a pouting sneer, narrowed his eyes, and snarled the words,
Cower in fear, Alderman of Westport, for none are safe from my deadly blade. A shame I will never be able to take credit for one of my finest performances.
A little overacted, if you're asking me.
Everyone's a bloody critic.
Well, you convinced Shudra. Vic slipped the purse from her pocket, weighed it in her hand, silver clinking. He was the only audience that counted. Merdeen grinned at her.
If you ever need someone to take a punch again, you know my rates.
Doubt I'll be through here any time soon, said Vic. The climate doesn't suit me.
You never know. I may see you in Adua. I've a feeling it might be wise to clear out of Westport for the time being. There will no doubt be recriminations following the recent shift in power. Debts to be paid and scores to settle.
Merdeen glanced nervously about the tavern and twitched his hood further down.
I wouldn't want to be mistaken for Schenkt a second time.
He gave a little shiver.
Or for that matter, to run into the real one.
Very wise.
They say Styria's the home of culture, but when it comes to theatre, all they want is flash and sparkle.
Merdeen waved it away with flamboyant disgust.
I want to get at the truth.
The truth is overrated. Vic let the purse drop into his hand. An actor should know that. It was early, the sun an angry clipping over the hills in the east, the rigging of the ships casting a cobweb of long shadows on the quay. It was early, but the sooner they were at sea and she was out of this endlessly crowded, superstitious, suffocating city, the happier she'd be. Or the less unhappy, at least. 2 practicals followed Vic and Tallow along the seafront, lugging her trunk between them. They were big men, but they were sweating. There was almost as great a weight of clothes, powders, and props inside as Savine Danglocter might have taken on a trip abroad. The many different Victorine Dan Teufels she might need to slip into made her wonder who the real one was, if there was such a thing any more.
He was an actor,
muttered Tallow for about the 5th time, his one little bag slung over his shoulder. An actor and acrobat. He's very particular on that point.
You didn't think to tell me.
You can't let slip what you don't know.
What if, well, he mimed a stabbing motion, I'd killed him or something.
Then there are always more actors. She gave a sigh that tasted of salt and sea rot and the acrid smoke from the tanneries down the coast just starting up for the day. Every idiot wants to be one.
Was the real Schenkt even in the city?
Who says there even is a real Schenkt? People like things that are simple, black and white, good and evil. They want to make a choice and tell themselves they were right. But as His Eminence is fond of saying, the real world is painted in greys. The truth is complicated, full of mixed emotions and blurred outcomes and each-way bets. The truth is a hard sell. They'd reached the ship now, an unappealing tub in need of a good careening, but it was sailing the right way. The 2 practicals set down Vic's trunk with a clatter. One unceremoniously planted his arse on it while he stretched out his back. The other pulled his mask aside to wipe his sweaty face. It helps to give people a straightforward story, with villains to boo and heroes to root for. Vic narrowed her eyes as she looked out to sea. In my experience, that means making them up.
But who's...
Doesn't matter how sharp you are, no one can be ready all the time. Something flashed past, one of the 2 practicals. He didn't make a sound. He didn't have time. Just flew a dozen strides and crashed into the side of a boat, staving in the planking in a cloud of splinters. Tallow shrank back, hands over his head. Vic whipped around to see the other practical tumbling across the quay, limbs bonelessly flopping. She caught a glimpse of a black figure against the rising sun, coming impossibly fast. She was just raising her arm. She hardly even knew what to do when it was caught with irresistible strength. She was jerked off her feet, the world reeled, and the quayside smashed her in the chest and drove her breath out in a choking wheeze. She saw boots through the blur, well-worn old work boots. Then something was over her face. Darkness and her own booming breath. Hands tied behind her, scrape of her toes as she was dragged along under the armpits. Hiss over the cobbles, clack, 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 over the boards of a wharf. She gathered herself, trying to think through the throbbing in her head, the burning ache in her shoulder. She might only get one chance. She might not even get one chance. She shoved a boot down, tried to twist free, but she was gripped tight as barrel bands. Pain stabbed up her arm, made her gasp through gritted teeth.
"Better not," said a man's voice in her ear,
a soft, bland, bored-sounding voice. A door clattered open, then shut. Boots clonked and rattled on a loose floor. She felt herself dumped into a chair. A creak of wood and a hiss of rope as her hands were tied fast to the back, her ankles to the legs.
"All right, take it off."
The bag was pulled from her head. Some gloomy shed with a tar and fish stink. Shafts of light shone through the cracks between the timbers of its walls. Slimy lobster cages were stacked to one side. Vic wondered if this was the place she'd die. She guessed she'd seen worse. A tall woman perched on a table with arms folded, looking down at Vic through narrowed eyes. Her grey hair was short and spiky, her sharp face deeply lined. Late 50s, maybe? Calm and professional. Not trying to be menacing. There was no need.
"Know who I am?"
she asked. A Styrian accent, but she spoke common well, like someone who'd spent a lot of time in the Union. Vic's head was thumping where it had hit the quay, blood tickling her scalp. Her shoulder was throbbing worse and worse, but she made sure to show as little pain as possible. Show hurt, you're asking to be hurt.
"I've a guess," she said. "Well, don't keep us in suspense. You're Shiloh Vitari, Minister of Whispers for the Serpent of Talons."
If Old Styx had an opposite number on this side of the Circle C, here she sat.
"Very good."
Hard wrinkles showed around Vitari's eyes as she smiled.
"I like her already. You like her?"
The bored man gave a noncommittal grunt, as if liking or disliking things wasn't really his business. He finished tying Tallow to his chair, the way he'd tied Vic to hers, quick and practiced, like he'd done it many times before.
"Know who this is?"
Vitari nodded towards him as he tested the knots on Tallow's bonds. Vic hardly wanted to answer.
"I've a guess. Let's see if you can make it 2 of 2. Is Casimir Denschenkt?" "The real one," said Vitari. "Imagine that."
Styria's most infamous killer, if it really was him, gave Vic a watery, slightly apologetic smile. Few men had ever looked so ordinary, gaunt and colourless, with dark rings around his eyes. But then awesome looks put people on their guard, and that's the last thing a killer wants. He leaned back against the wall and pulled something from a pocket, a piece of wood roughly carved. He began to whittle it with a little curved knife, blade flashing, white shavings scattering about his worn boots.
"Do you go by Victorine?" asked Vitari. "It's quite the mouthful. Maybe your friends call you Vic?"
"Maybe they would, if I had any."
"You've got at least one."
She grinned down at Tallow, and he stared back at her with those big, sad eyes and grunted something into his gag no one could understand. Vic didn't like the thought that he'd ended up in that chair because of her. No need to hurt him, she wanted to say, and it's me you want, and all the bloody clichés, but that would have been as good as telling them this stringy fool was a chink in her armour. So Vic didn't even glance in his direction. She treated him like he was nothing. It was all she could do for him.
Do you know the irony, Vic?
Vitari slowly sat forward, wrists on her knees and her long hands dangling.
We were there, in the temple square, waiting for Shudra, so we could kill him and pretend you'd done it.
When you've nothing to add, stay silent.
Then we saw you coming, and we thought, if you're fool enough to kill him yourself, why not let you save us the trouble?
More silence.
But you weren't there to kill him. You were there to pretend we'd tried so you could pretend to save him. I watched the whole thing with a growing sense of annoyance, then a growing sense of admiration. It was very neat, wasn't it?
Schenkt's only contribution was the soft scraping of his knife.
Who was he? Your fake assassin? An actor?
And acrobat, said Vic. I found him in a circus. Vitari grinned.
Nice touch. Well, he can take a punch. You gave him quite the beating.
He was a bit upset about it.
So am I, said Vitari, her grin vanishing. The Grand Duchess Monscaro is going to be quite irked. And believe me, you haven't really seen irked until you've seen the Serpent of Tarlins irked. Do you think you're clever?
Vic tried to shift her throbbing shoulder into a more comfortable position, but there was none.
I felt cleverer.
I think you're clever. I don't often find people who can get the better of me. When I do, I'd rather have them work for me than work against. Or dead, I guess. But dead would be a waste, wouldn't it?
Schenkt gave that grunt again, as though it was the same to him either way.
So, how about it?
Vitari looked sideways at her.
After a new job? You could tell me secrets. What the union's planning. Where they're weak, where they're strong. That kind of thing.
Thump, 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 went the pulse in Vic's head, and the blood tickled at her scalp, and it occurred to her this might be one of those turning points. Like in the mine, when she chose to run. Or in the camps, when she chose to tell. Or in Valbek, when she chose to stay. Her mouth felt very dry all of a sudden.
I've already got a job, she said.
Vitari's brows drew in, grey brows with just a few orange flecks in them.
I used to work for Old Sticks, you know, back before he was Old Sticks. Young Sticks, would you say?
Schenkt shrugged, as though he wouldn't say much about anything, and pursed his lips and blew a puff of dust from his carving.
We were in Dgoska together during the siege.
Vitari gave a faraway sigh.
So many happy memories. He's a clever bastard, fearless and ruthless, understands pain like no one else I ever knew. Lots to admire. But it's not as though he really pulls the strings himself, is it?
She narrowed her eyes slightly, as if she was waiting for Vic to chime in. She'd a feeling there was some piece to this conversation she was missing, but when you've nothing to add, stay silent.
Bayaz.
Schenkt pronounced both syllables crisply in Vic's ear, and his breath felt chill, like the draught through a window on a winter evening, and it made the hairs on her neck rise almost painfully.
The first of the Magi?
The idea of that self-satisfied old bastard pulling anyone's strings seemed hard to credit.
The Union has been his tool since he first brought it together in the days of Harald the Great.
You want ruthless?
Vitari gave a low whistle.
Should have seen Adjua after he was done with it. He already has you dancing to his tune, I reckon.
I never even met the man.
And yet you came to Westport with more than a trunk full of clothes.
Vitari leaned closer, voice dropping to a breathy murmur. A voice for secrets, a voice for threats.
You came with Valin and Balk's debts, with Valin and Balk's trade rights, with Valant and Bulk's money.
What have Valant and Bulk got to do with Bias?
They're three names for the same thing, murmured Schenkt.
Vitari slowly shook her head. Dark company you keep.
Really?
Vic jerked her head towards Styria's most infamous assassin.
I heard he eats people.
As rarely as possible, he said without a trace of irony. That bank chomps up dozens a day.
So how about it? Vitari stuck her lips out in a pout. Come work for me. Stand with the righteous, or as close as the likes of us will get.
Vic looked down at the ground, the blood thump, thump, thumping in her skull louder than ever.
I owe Glockter.
It surprised her that she said it. It surprised her how sure she sounded.
Reckon I'll stick with him, till the debt's paid.
Tallow made a high-pitched squeak into his gag. Vitari gave a long sigh. Schenkt issued that indifferent grunt one more time. Vic bared her teeth, back prickling, expecting the blade. Any moment now, the brittle silence stretched, almost unbearable.
That's interesting, said Vitari.
Said Schenkt, slipping his carving away but keeping the knife out. You could have told me yes, then when you got back home, never followed through. Or tried to work me somehow. Someone clever as you would have seen that right off. So why not just tell me yes?
Vic looked up at her.
Because I want you to believe me.
Ha!
Vitari smiled wide. Good teeth she had for a woman her age.
I like that. Do you like that?
I do, said Schenkt.
Vitari pulled out a slip of paper and folded it and pressed the fold sharp with her thumbnail. Then she opened Vic's shirt pocket and slipped the paper inside and gave it a pat.
Once you realize how things really are, go to this address. The barman there will have what you need.
He has what everyone needs, said Schenkt.
Until then, if I was you...
Vitari stood and strolled towards the door, wagging one long finger.
I wouldn't come back to Styria.
We're in Westport, said Vic.
This is the Union.
For now.
Vitari drew the bolt and opened the door. Schenkt slipped away that little curved knife, pulled up his hood and walked out, humming faintly to himself, leaving nothing but a scattering of pale shavings on the boards. It looked like Vic would live out the day after all.
How do we get free?
She called, still trussed up tight. Vitari paused, a long black shape in the bright doorway.
You're the clever one. You work it out,